This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
The state is failing some of its most vulnerable children, and that's the stark warning from the Children's Ombudsman, Niall Muldoon, in a major new report which came out this week. The report describes a system under severe strain with falling foster care numbers, growing reliance on private residential providers, and serious gaps in support for carers. So what is going wrong inside Ireland's care system? Well, Niall Muldoon is with me now. Dr. Niall Muldoon, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
The question of whether children could be even less safe in state care than they would be if they were left alone in their domestic circumstance. How can that be?
Well, I think we see that in rare occasions, but there are circumstances in which children have described to us being brought into care and ending up in special emergency accommodation, which is an unregulated system in which we're paying private providers to, like a hotel room perhaps, or a private apartment or Airbnb.
And are there supposed to be social workers across all of this?
There's supposed to be social workers across all this. It doesn't happen. A lot of the time children report situations in which the staff are unqualified. And they would have no routine throughout the day, so they wouldn't be going to school, they wouldn't have therapy, they would have no occasion to get up in the mornings, they don't guaranteed food, the fast food might be the way they go all the time. So it's a really poor situation at times.
Wasn't there an ambition to reduce this kind of care from 60% to 50%, but in fact it's gone up?
That's right. The strategy for Tusla from 2021 to 2025 was to reduce down the level of private residential setting and private accommodations like this, because these are totally unregulated. HICWA don't involve themselves with it. We had one young boy called James who was in 35 different special emergency accommodations in 3 months. And he was also at times waiting in Garda stations and social work offices even to get that poor service.
This is unconscionable that a kid should be traipsed around like this from place to place, billy to jack. Surely, though, there should be a social worker across that child's case and be alert to all of this.
Absolutely, there should be. But again, it's the... And this is my concern, is that the strategy that we talked about 2021, we should have been planning for this. We should have been able to provide our own accommodation. We should be able to look to it and make sure that this doesn't happen. And the social worker shouldn't have to worry about these sort of emergency accommodations across many counties.
Is there a surge for any particular reason? I mean, you'd imagine that, for example, if children have come in from a war zone, for example, that this might add to the numbers of kids needing care.
Absolutely. There's a range of reasons for it. I mean, our own population, our children's population has gone up by about 60,000 people in the last 5-6 years. We've also had the Ukrainian war. We've an increase in special unaccompanied minors coming in here. We also have changes in Irish circumstances. There's a lot more reporting of domestic violence. There's children experiencing violence. There's homelessness. There's poverty. So there's lots of reasons for children to come in, and the referrals to Tusla have gone up by 100% in the last 10 years. So again, for me, I'm looking at the long-term planning and why we haven't achieved what we need to achieve, which is Tusla should be statutorily obliged to have this accommodation available close to every child in the country.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Is there a shortage of foster carers?
Yes, there is. We in Ireland have always been seen across Europe as one of the best services for children in care because they go into foster service. We used to be at 92% of our children provided foster
service. So live with the family.
Live with the family and feel much more. They open their home, they open their hearts, they provide so much warmth and care and stability. Now we're down at about 85% of our children are provided with foster families. And it's a much more difficult scenario for the foster families as well. They spent 12 years in which their foster supports, financial supports, weren't changed whatsoever since 2012.
They were lobbying before the last budget to have an improvement. Did they get one?
They got a small improvement, and there's plans to improve that. But again, you're looking after 12 years of static, you know, so it's coming from a low base.
Now, I don't think foster parents do it for the money, nor should they be financially disadvantaged when they do it.
And I think this is where the problem is. We're providing an allowance. I think we're still in the mindset of volunteers and helping a volunteer to help us. But in reality, we are taking a child into care. We should be doing better than the parents ever did before. We're saying we can make your life safer as locus parentis, as a state. And we're asking the foster parents to look after these children in the best possible way. We give them a certain amount of money, but we make it difficult for them to get refunds for medical appointments, for therapeutic appointments, for grinds. So any of those extra, if the child has disability, it's not guaranteed the foster parent will be able to get refunds on those works as well. So there's a huge area outside of the allowance that needs to be cared for.
Now, if you have to go to a foster parent, it might be better that you go to someone in your own extended family.
Yeah.
And these are called kinship carers.
That's right.
But they are not treated the same way as foster parents in terms of the help they get.
No, and it's a strange situation, Pat. For years, we've been pushing to get kinship care recognized as a formal form of fostering type scenario.
What do they get in addition?
Essentially, they get if they're recognized, they get a small allowance, and then they're told if there's any problem, come to Tusla and we'll help you. But that's it. So the real problem is that they also are not legally seen as the carer for the child.
So if a child, for example, if there's an issue about schooling.
Correct.
Those kinship carers cannot make a decision about schooling.
No, it still sits with the parent, whoever has lost the child. It sits with them. Similarly, if they want to go on holidays, they can't take them out of the country. They can't make medical decisions. There's no consent. They can't make consent decisions in that situation. So again, that's the aunt.
They're simple things to rectify, I would have thought.
You would have thought so. And again, this is why we want the whole of government. You need the Department of Social Protection looking at this. You need the Department of Education, Department of Health, all working together to provide for these carers who are replacing.
To what extent do kids fall through the cracks because of social worker turnover? You know, if you have a case officer who's looking after you from the beginning to the time you leave foster care, I'd say you do better than if you're having a different social worker every 6 months or a year.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a given, and that's the whole plan of the system, is to make sure that you have a static, stable social work provision. That doesn't happen on for the majority of children. I think that very few of them get a stable engagement and relationship with their social workers. And that's one of the problems. You know, we've seen, you had played a clip at the top of your show from Kai, a young person who came through the care system. He talked to us about being a background character in his own life when he's in the system, because other people are making decisions all around him. They don't ask him, they don't listen to him, they don't tell him what's going on. And that's really difficult.
Now, the question of throwing the kids then when they leave at the age of 18, they leave foster care and throwing them to the wolves. What about aftercare?
Yeah, aftercare. I mean, this is the most simple thing, to make that statutory obligation on the state to provide proper aftercare for children. At the moment, there's a statutory obligation to provide a plan for aftercare, but not the service. And again, we saw young James that was in our case report, 18 years of age, spent 3 years in special care. The last year of that was he was isolated on his own with two staff, one-to-one ratio. And at 18, they pushed him out the door. And
on his own.
With a key, he had a key worker access, but no guarantee of anything after that. And within 6 weeks, he was homeless. Hmm. Surprise, surprise. So we need to make sure that doesn't happen to our children.
Now, Tusla looked for a significant amount of money, and they only got less than half of what they required for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Is it all about money? Or is it about, you know, trying to recruit people who maybe don't want to work for Thusla because they fear they'll be burnt out in jig time.
Yeah, of course it's not all about money, but from my point of view, and Thusla will report that they've had 11% increase in the number of social workers in the last couple of years. They're making progress in that and recruiting people, but they're still losing people, so it's not a net gain. But the money, from my point of view, the reason I'm highlighting that when they ask for money, they've lost 100 million euros a year for the last 5 years that they weren't allowed by the state when they put in their ask, their budget plan. And each year, you can imagine what could be done with that 100 million euros. How many beds could be provided? How many more foster carers could be brought on board? How many social workers could be provided, or supervision for social workers? Whatever it is, I would love to know what Thusla have had not been able to do over the last 5 years as a result of that cutback. And
question, you know, sometimes what we do is we rebrand an agency or some sort of quango and say, this is it, and they give it more jobs to do. I mean, is Thusla too big? Is its remit far too vast? Do we need to segment it maybe?
Well, I think there's certainly questions to be asked about some of the additional remits that went into it. You know, things like the adoption and information tracing situation, also the mother and baby homes. You know, that's a really important piece of work, but it is retrospective, and
it doesn't seem like it sits comfortably in that particular environment.
Yeah, and again, have they been fully resourced for that? Again, if it's fully resourced, I could live with it. But it's making sure that the children who are currently at risk are not necessarily losing out as a result of those lack of resources, and that's where the new government alternative care strategy is going to be crucial, that it is fully resourced, and Thusla has looked at from that point of view.
So what is to be done? I mean, you have said that, you know, there's a historic moment for doing something right.
Yeah.
What makes this time special, given that governments have scrambled to do something right for a long time?
Well, I think unbelievably this is going to be the first ever alternative care strategy produced by a government.
To be published when?
The Department of Children say it should be the summertime, so I'm hopeful that June, July we will see something there, and it needs to be fully resourced and fully committed to by the government. And from my point of view, we need that as a separate budget line, and we also need it to be reported into the subcommittee on children and disability in the cabinet.
I know you'd hate this question, but are there any quick fixes that would solve some of the problems more rapidly than maybe a long-term strategy would?
Again, I mean, I think the recognition of kinship care and making sure that those people who are, because you all know, you've heard from them, you've heard from parent children who've really thrived under the brilliant granny, the wonderful aunt, the great uncle. They need to be provided with proper support and formal structure.
And we said earlier, so that could be done in jig time.
I would expect so, because it's like the foster care. So there is a system in place that they could copy and really make sure that comes into play.
Now, I presume with foster parents, there is a Garda vetting process.
Of course.
And maybe in kinship, they would not see that was necessary, although perhaps it should be.
Yeah, I mean, that would have to be worked out. It's not guaranteed that every relative is the right person to do the job. But again, making sure all those systems are in place would be important, but it can be done.
Finally, Niall, what would the system look like in 5 years if an appropriate strategy was adopted?
Well, I'd love to see a situation in which every child thrives and their best interest is at the core of every decision that's made for children in care. And I think that would really turn the system around. Because again, we have 5,800 children coming in this year, and that's a huge number if we got it right for them. But if we get it wrong for even 300 or 400 of those children end up in crime, they end up in destitution, poverty, lack of poor education, and we pay for years and years afterwards. But we'd love to see those children thriving in 5 years' time.
Dr. Niall Muldoon, Children's Ombudsman, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.